The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
All right, we're back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, on this Monday, 16 of February, 2015. And we're talking with Ralph Winterode. Ron McDonald is riding shotgun with me here. And Ralph is talking about how the IRS fixes their own game. And a lot of people are confused. They've been bamboozled. Ralph, I guess when you say it's a court, people figure that's a place to get things ironed out and get justice, and we'll all be on our merry way. Now, the cases that have been filed, and you're cornering these guys on their own procedure. Where are we at with this?
Okay. First of all, there's tax court, which I'll get to if we have time. In the tax court, the attorneys that you... That's your only remedy, by the way, when you start dealing with these guys as far as notice of deficiency. You got a 90-day window. You got to go play in the administrative world over there with those guys. Okay? And let's leave that one alone. But the opposing side is going to be out of the chief counsel's office. Okay? Now, let's go back to the other court, United States District Court. Because, John, they'll get around and they'll come after you and they will say, look, I want your books and records. I am going to beat you into submission. It's inquisitorial. We are going to threaten you. Peremptory. So they will say, John, come on down. The IRS will say, come down to the meeting. And you say, no, I'm not going. Or you go in there and you won't answer the questions. Or you do some nonsense like Fifth Amendment stuff or whatever and piss off the agent. These agents are, like a lot of these cops, are just little dictators. So the agent says, boy, I got John now. I'm going to file into the United States District Court. We're going to go for an enforcement. So you get a summons to show up at the United States District Court in your area about books and records. So... number one thing is the agent must have a return that you filed, but you're a non-filer. Okay, so the only other option, there's option two. It's called substitute for return. They filed it. They filed one for you. And the chief counsel for the IRS said there's got to be three forms. There's almost invariably, there's never three. And even if there is, they are worthless, which I can blow out of the water. But they have to have a return to get you into that court. Okay? So John shows up in the court. And the clerk, holding of the Supreme Court of the United States last year in Clark, said these are got to be adversarial. So if you can bring up some circumstantial evidence, then they're supposed to allow you to put ye olde arrogant IRS agent on the stand. Well, you say, look, I got the chief counsel notice, and it says right here, you've got to have three forms, and I don't even have three forms, so that's circumstantial evidence. I want to see IRS agent on the stand. That's been tried in Minnesota, and the judge and the magistrate, we can't do that, because they don't have any, that's tax court stuff. Wait a minute. Do we have more than one IRS here? The administrative stuff in the tax court is the same administrative nonsense you're trying to enforce over here. Okay, so let's say you don't know any of this. You go in there and they'll say, John, you get your butt over there to this IRS guy and you answer the damn questions. Well, you go over there because to get into that federal court, he has to have signed a declaration under the penalties of perjury. So we finally got something true and correct. We got him. We got some way to nail him. And he says he's followed all the administrative steps. Well, the first administrative step he's got to do for authority, he has to have a written delegation authority from the secretary. He don't got it. So if you had him on the stand, he's dead in the water. Just one question. The next question is, there must be a return filed, Mr. IRS agent. Let's see here. Do you have a return that I filed a 1040 under OMB 1545-0074? Nope. Well, then you must have the substitute for return. And by the way, I've got some of the administrative record right here, part of it that says that you did a substitute for return. That'll be in the form 8868.
And that's the one that they filed.
Well, that's the one that they have sent you in the mail to intimidate you.
Okay.
They don't put it into the court record. And the chief counsel, the tax court sub, says you got to file all three of these forms into the damn tax court before we will defend it, because we have to have standing to prove there is a substitute for return. They don't ever do it. Never. Because they can't. Because they're out of smoke.
Ralph, what's the number of the chief counsel on that form, on his notice, I should say?
CC-2007-005. And if somebody wants to see it today, I'll send it to you. Yep. It's just the CC-2007-005. It's all highlighted. So, to get into federal court, they got a problem. He has to have a letter of delegation, which he don't got. He's got to have you've got to volunteer for the IRS, basically. That's the real short story. And if you haven't volunteered, they really don't have any authority to make a form for you. And they have to have a declaration filed into the federal court to get you there. That's the only time you ever get these slimy, arrogant IRS agents under the penalties of perjury for something. So you got him. He's got to do something. He's dead under the penalties of perjury. Now, what we've got going in Minnesota, because the magistrate, no, we're not going to put him under the stand. On the stand, and Wilhelm, the attorney, said, oh no, that chief counsel don't have any bearing. Notice don't have any bearing in this court. Really? How in the hell can that be? How many IRSs do we have? This is the man. He's the top dog. It's like a Holder putting out an opinion, attorney general opinion. Man, I mean, does it not apply to everywhere? So, what's coming up Thursday is finally, because the magistrate had a judgment and he's getting concerned that his tush is going to be on fire. So, rather than sanction this fellow in Minnesota, he says, okay, you guys put in a brief last week, which we did, and Wilhelm is going to have to actually answer something in writing this week, Thursday. And as soon as we get that answer, then we're going to go right back into, God, you can have so much fun with these. It's called a reverse deposition, is my word for it. You go back into the hearing, which the agent is just patting. Wait and can't. He says, oh, I got the 23rd open. He gave us several different dates. You go in there, and you go in, and you just very, because we know all the questions that they're going to be asking. And we say, well, Mr. Wagner here, I'm sure that you've been properly trained to do books and records. You're properly trained from the IRS. Is that correct? Yes. And you have the authority that's in your declaration under 6-7602. Is that correct? Yes. Do you have a written delegation of authority from the secretary?
Nope.
That's the first problem. Then he's going to say, well, John here, I'll call you John, Stat Miller, did you bring in your books and records? Well, you say, you know, I'm really concerned because I might be going to jail here or be sanctioned. Is this concerning a return that I filed? Nope. Well, is it concerning a substitute for return? He's stuck again because he's already sent you, John, stuff to get this started in the mail. And even if he sent all three forms, it's irrelevant because we can blow him out of the water. But he's stuck because he ain't supposed to be there unless he's not supposed to be doing this unless either you filed or they got a complete substitute for return filed. Chief counsel said so, all three forms. So that's the first problem they got. You say, okay, well, let's just go on. You're not going to answer that question. Now I want to make sure these books and records, is it under subtitle A, income taxes? He probably won't even know. Is it under subtitle B for gifts of state? He won't know. Subtitle C, he can't do. That's employment taxes. That's what they like to use W-2s and all this other nonsense and bank accounts or subtitle D. Well, you say, you know, I guess the answer is a no. You just hung this guy. Why did you hang him? Because, you see, Title 26 is broken down into four subtitles, and only Subtitle A really is the one they should be talking about. And if no matter what he answers or if he don't answers, you got him, because what you do then, you take that transcript, you send it to the agent, and say, these are the procedures you broke. And the reason why you send it to him before you send it to the area director, because if you just send it to the area director, the limit is only $100,000 and getting him fired. Because you got to give him a chance to say he didn't make a mistake. You got to give him a chance to see the light and correct himself and do forgiveness and all that stuff, right? And as soon as he doesn't answer, 10 days, then you go to the area director, which we've got from three areas now. He's got 6 months. And then you head off to the United States District Court and you can sue him for up to $1 million and you just hung him out by the yard arm and that IRS agent will be unemployed. Now, we've got cases, one of them in Oklahoma, they were going to take the guy's property and when we brought up this stuff and it's supposed to have a trial in June, IRS just shut the hell up. We haven't heard from them. That's been, June 6, 8, 6, 7 months? They shut up. They don't know what to do.
And what was the date?
Last June. There was going to be a trial on getting his property last June, reduced to judgment. Now, see, this is what people, again, don't understand. They do all of this in the fourth branch. We think we have a right to defend our property by going to court. Don't you? And provide evidence?
Yeah.
With the IRS? That's a total fabrication. Total lie. I got this out of Joe Bannister's case. I got it at the Supreme Court holding in Bull in 1935. They do all of this administratively, and there is an administrative judgment that John Stadtmiller shall lose all of his property. It's all done with paperwork. There's no evidence. The IRS starts off with flat-out lies, and they use procedural nonsense. And if you don't understand the administrative state, and you say, oh, I'm going to use the Fifth Amendment, I'm going to use the cost, you're going to lose. You will lose. There is an administrative judgment. Then the IRS from the administrative world steps back across the line into the United States District Court. By the way, it's not a constitutional court either since 1948, but that's another issue. They step in and say, John Stadtmiller, I want your property. We're here to get everything you own. And you start trying to fight this as though you didn't have a trial by jury and all this. And they say, well, yeah, we'll give you a trial by jury. You're never going to see a trial by jury. What you don't even understand is they say, John, you owe $1 million. Based on what? You have to get the administrative record, the administrative judgment, the administrative procedures. They have to follow each and every one of them correctly. They will say, John, we have assessments against you. Well, wait a minute. An assessment is the judgment in the administrative world. Well, under 6203, it says assessments done by regulation. So is there a regulation for assessments for Subtitle A income taxes? Never been promulgated. So how in the hell did you accomplish that? It's never seen the light of day.
Say, Ralph, earlier you mentioned agencies or actually entities that are outside of the Constitution.
Most of them are. They call them external establishments. Not every one of them is, but most of them are. And okay. The ones that I haven't even checked out probably are because they act like it anyway.
So what is a link for the United States to move on behalf and defend that agency or that entity?
I'm sorry, what's that again?
What is the link that, because when you see the caption, it'll say the United States of America.
Oh, right, okay, well, that's a good question. Now, let me tell you what I finally figured out on that. Because in the reduced to judgments, you will see United States of America without the, by the way, that started back about 1913, by the way, coincidentally. The United States of America used to be the United States or United States prior to that in the headings, okay? It is the chief counsel for the IRS because it says, I am an official delegate and under my authority, he's bringing this case. He is United States of America. Then what's confusing is down in the brief, you will see United States. United States refers to the attorney general of the United States. That's the guy they've hired to do the dirty work for the chief counsel for the IRS, which is United States of America. Okay?
Right.
Yep, it's right up in the heading. I fought this for 5-6 years, and then I was just reading, you know, I read, it's right in the heading, almost all of these reduced to judgments.
Okay,
I read through it thinking that it's the United States of America, Articles of Confederation, or all this. I went off of what I thought I know was so, that's not so.
Now, Ralph, these entities actually are foreign to the United States, am I correct?
Yeah, when they are an external establishment, they are as foreign as China. All so, we do is with the buy-in with the consent of Congress, we put somebody in there. Now, let me tell you the background why this got started. Because back in the presidents used to, they used to get around when the presidents changed, like in Andrew Johnson or Lincoln or Grant and those guys. They would get in and they would fire a whole bunch of people. There's a whole bunch of people would just lose their jobs. And they said, oh, well, that's not good. So we started the Civil Service Commission. We want to have all these people here and just let them keep their job. So in other words, when you take a new president comes in, we got all these people that may be working against you, and you can't get rid of them. And that started, that was a Supreme Court case. So they started because we want to keep these guys, so they can keep their jobs. And that was the beginning of the Civil Service Commission, and that's why you can't get rid of these SOBs. In these agencies.
But, you know, I'm going back to what you said earlier, that we are contracted for benefit. And I'm sitting here thinking, what benefit is this to have the IRS taking stuff out of your paycheck, demanding that you pay taxes on your income? What's the benefit here? To have
let me give you another punch. Because, see, you're asking a question that... It's on point, basically. A little bit off, but it's on point. Okay? So who can they take money from for Subtitle A as a withholding agent? Let me pull it up and read it to you. It's real simple when you see this stuff. I mean, God, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I've been working on this for lots of years, boy, I'm telling you. And then all of a sudden last year, broke the court system in Alaska, broke the vehicles owned to them, and broke the IRS stuff now. And it's, the IRS is just adding more to it. This is in 7701A16. Withholding agent. You're acting as a withholding agent down there, John. And you're breaking the law. Did you know that? You're a lawbreaker. Withholding agent. The term withholding agent is in quotation marks. Means any person. And any person is defined in 7701A1. It's everything, corporations, individuals, everything except my putty cat, okay? It says it means any person required to deduct and withhold any tax. Does that leave anybody out?
Doesn't sound like it to me.
Thank you. Under the provisions of, and they list four code sections. 1441. That's a Subtitle A tax, by the way, which is non-resident aliens. 1442, which is foreign corporations. 1443 is foreign organizations. And 1461 says if you ain't one of them other three up above, you can get your butt sued. You can sue the employer.
Okay, hang on. We've got to take this break. Mark in Texas, caller, hang on. We'll get to your call. 800-313-9443.
Come down. Your money, what is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible. Just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
All right, we are back. Go ahead, Ralph, and keep in mind we have a caller holding.
Okay. So anyway, what I'm getting to is you can step out of the system and do it gracefully without losing your job, and you just get a letter from the IRS, and then you go after the IRS, and I'm going to be putting that out, how to go about doing that.
Okay, wait. You get a letter from the IRS. What kind of letter from the IRS?
Okay, on the W-4. If you get around and you want to pick your W-4, you mark exempt, and you hand that to your employer, then he should quit taking income tax out. He'll still take Social Security. Leave that. That's a separate battle. Leave that one alone. It's nominal. It's not worth the battle right now. So then if the employer balks, you say, hey, I don't have a problem with that. Just get around and get a letter from the IRS signed by a revenue officer, and I'll do the W-4 however you want it done. Okay?
But that'll never get done because the letter will never arrive.
Well, I don't know. We're going to have to go there and see this because this 74 stuff, I've just got this all researched out finally, and we've got a couple of people just getting started in this process. But I didn't know how to hold them accountable. Now I do.
All right. Because
I had to know the procedures. You have to know what they're supposed to have not done before you can hold them accountable.
Gotcha. Let's go to Mark in Texas. Hello, Mark.
Phew.
I know.
Ralph, if you'll substitute the word administrative for management, I think they both pretty much equate to the same thing. Management is the same thing. The government doesn't want to do anything. They just want to run everything. That's where privatization comes in.
It's called Administrative Procedures Act, and they use administrative and procedural regulations, by the way, which have no force and effect of law with the IRS. They use procedural regulations with... They have no effect. They use Part 301, which are housekeeping regulations, which have no force and effect of law, and they don't do subsidy regulations. So when you walk into the IRS, and pamphlets, by the way, mean nothing. The courts have said they can lie flat out on a pamphlet. They can say on their procedures, Part 601, we just said what we were going to do, but we don't have to do it, and you're screwed. Do you know that? So you walk in there, none of the regulations, you can hold the feet to the fire, except that the courts have said if they promulgate them, they're supposed to do them. But there's no subsidy regs done by any of them. It's all bluff. It's all coercion.
All they are doing is managing a problem. They're not providing a solution. They're privatizing the goons to take care of the problem. And it all goes to the highest bidder.
I don't know. I don't have a comment on that.
Yeah, I figured that. We had a...
No, I don't. I just...
We had a problem back with Bush Sr. What he did was he come out and he says, well, we just have to be able to privatize all the infrastructure. That got the ball rolling for fascism. Next up, Clinton come in, and John, I gave you at least 50 pages of the Modernization Acts, which I've yet to be heard talked about yet, Modernization Acts, which are straight out of the administrative, Philip Drew administrative law.
Well, the only thing they have, all
they want to do is manage. They don't want to do anything. They just want to point fingers and have it done for them. That's why they don't need a bond.
Well, okay, if you want to get into bonding, let's go into that. That's something I can address that has meaning. An objective meaning. In 1974, prior to that, anybody dealing with the Internal Revenue Service as a, quote, employee had to have an official bond. In 1974, the feds got around and said, we don't need bonding anymore for our folks. So therefore, you have no means to hold them accountable. In Alaska, we have statutes for official bonds. Do you know how many people in Alaska have them? None. Do you know what kind of bonding they have? The employees, the judges, they have a bonding, all right, and it's an employee bond that the state of Alaska is protected if they steal from the state. An official bond is supposed to be your stuff, freeholder. Your stuff with things that you have put up so that if we catch you, like a sheriff or anybody that handles money, I've never seen judges bonded. If we catch you at it, you lose your stuff. Now we got your attention. These guys operate today. They say, oh, well, just sue the corporation. No skin off my nose. And then the IRS, until recently, how in the hell are we ever going to hold them accountable if you can't even find the area director?
All right.
They're Tesla.
Hang on. We've got a break here. Mark, I thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Pete, you're up next. 800-313-9443. Ralph, this one's from Wisconsin. I wonder if it's the guy that's doing the case. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Heart problems were in my family, and I did notice these chest pains occasionally. I decided to try it, and I don't think I'm going to stop for quite a while. Nothing has worked as well as this product has promised to. I've taken, you know, supplements and that sort of thing, and never really noticed a difference.
Well, I turned 60, and when I went into the doctor to get my reports, the lady at the desk, she looked at it, and she says, "Wow." I says, "What's that say?" So she came back and looked at my last check. She says, "Well, you've gone down half on your cholesterol." So she says, "I guess don't do a thing, only what you're doing right now."
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
We're back. Let's go to Pete in Wisconsin. Hello, Pete.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
My contention is that the IRS is looking for a specific kind of consideration, and that would be what? Federal Reserve notes. Am I correct? Isn't that what they're looking for, Federal Reserve notes and federal accounting money? Or, you know, accounting money being the numbers that they put in the bank, but they're basically collection agency or a third-party collection agency for the Federal Reserve. Is that correct, or no? Would I be incorrect in assuming making that presumption?
Ralph, did you hear the question?
I did. I don't have any information on it. I can tell you that when the Social Security folks, Alaska, does not take Social Security, it's the only state that doesn't, they get around and set up an annuity fund, and then you get the money, plus they match it, plus all the interest and money it's made over the years. They quit doing it in 1980. Congress offered it, and the reason why they did, and I got this from somebody that got it passed in Alaska, is they were using the Social Security's monies out of the money of that for bonding for the Federal Reserve.
Well, to
hold them up, but as far as what you're saying, I've heard it. I have no information to prove it, yes or no. I don't know.
Well, reason I say that is because on every one of my paychecks, at this time, I don't bond. I don't bond with just a signature. I bond as redeemed to United States currency notes pursuant to Title 12, Section 411. And the way I'm backing that up is with Ninth Circuit Court court decisions. and congressional legislation. Even the Federal Reserve Charter says that all Federal Reserve notes are redeemable upon demand, not application, not petition, but upon demand at a Federal Reserve Bank. So I would think that if a person wants to use lawful money and they want to restore the United States, they may as well go ahead and start using United States money. You know, and it's just like the post office. You get on the post office, you buy a 49-cent United States Postal Service corporate stamp when you can mail a United States stamp for 3 cents. You just have to, it has to be done correctly, but it can be done. The government's still there, what's left of it, but it's still there, but nobody uses it. And that's
the problem. Postal Service says, by the way, the Postal Service is an external establishment. It's not the post office, but how you do the stamps, I don't know. I've heard people doing it, but I don't know. And by the way, the Act of 1792, Coinage Act, is still alive and well, and we're not using it. And Kennedy did try to boot Treasury notes, and they got him whacked.
Well, United States notes still exist. The Treasury could quit printing them, but the Treasury can't take them out of circulation. See, a lot of people think that if the Treasury quits printing them, they're out of circulation.
Right.
But no. Congress makes that decision. In 1985, they even defined it better by saying that gold, silver, and currency are lawful money, currency being United States notes pointing to gold and silver. So if they're gonna bring cause of action, if the IRS is going to bring cause of action, what actually are they looking for? By all means, please define that for me. I'd love to see it because I'm not using Federal Reserve notes. Sorry.
There's a battle you're not going to win against the IRS. It's like you think you're going to take the United States District Courts, the true District Courts of the United States went in the closet in 1948. United States District Courts, jurisdictional step is in 28 U.S.C. 132, and it says the judicial power of the District Court, not the judicial power of the United States.
Well,
those
absolutely.
Courts are all private, and you're not going to make, you're not going to, they're not a chameleon. You're not going to turn them into a constitutional court. And the Supreme Court says, we got two of them running out here. We got two court systems running, and we do. How you get access to the other one, I don't know.
You'd have to counterclaim and list jurisdiction and venue.
It all sounds good. I've seen these people challenge this stuff, and they keep getting their butts cleared, their tushes cleaned. And I tell you what, I'm in the administrative world using the constitutional side. And we're doing something with it.
Well, absolutely. You know, I agree with taking your W-2 or W-4 form and marking it exempt. You have to do that. And I'm in the process of doing that right now because I'm converting. I'm just converting all my money. I refuse to use elastic currency. I won't do it. And the law supports me and congressional record supports me on it. And if they're going to take me into a district court, I'm going to counterclaim, list jurisdiction and venue, and bring cause of action. You know,
it all sounds good. How many cases have you ever been into court?
I've been in a few. I've been in a few bankruptcies. I've been in a few foreclosures. I pretty much know the money consideration is absolutely our best argument, gentlemen. Believe it or not.
But you can't win with them right now. You know, I've got 18 cases going. I got an appellate case that I'm doing research on that just came out in the 4th. I've got one in the 10th, two in the 9th. And getting ready to do one in the 8th on this Minnesota case because we've set this damn judge up, and we're gonna clean this clock. But it's taken a lot of experience then to make this happen.
I'll tell you, anyway. the toughest appeal I ever wrote was on a judicial kidnapping case. They really want, they just want to snatch those kids. I don't know what it is. They don't want the parents or the kids, man.
I'll tell you what, if you really want to get into that world, let me give you a piece of advice, and I'll give you some good information. You want to see the real stuff. Do you know that Congress has passed a law that they're selling these kids at they want them adopted out at $4,000 a head for the healthy ones, $2,000 a head for the sick ones, and they have what's called a cooperative agreement between your child custody folks and your court system. They have a contract for money. I got a copy of the contract out of Alaska. I got it. I got one out of Florida. They say it right in here. The judge is audited for his performance on the amount of money he makes.
I know it's a mitigated gall is what it is, and it's going to come to a head one of these days because these people are just not, I don't know who they think they are or what they're trying to prove, but, you know, I hear all this stuff about a peaceful restoration. As I look through history, I've never seen one. Now, I don't know about you.
Just like
but
with
I
your child in child custody, I lost the first case because that was the learning curve. The second one, her name was Alice Brown in the state of Montana. And that cooperative agreement got filed, and they wrote her a check for $20,000 for her second son, and she boogied on down to Mexico, but she won just like that. They can't. How you think you're going to win is not what's going on. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, you know.
It isn't. I mean, there is no constitutional republic, folks. There's no constitutional courts in Alaska. The federal courts, the United States District Court, is not a constitutional court. The Court of Appeals is not a circuit court of the United States. That one went away in 1914, the original. The Circuit Court of Appeals started back in the 1890s, and then in the Circuit Court of the United States, the real one, transferred its judicial power to the District Court of the United States in 1948. That puppy went into the damn closet, and the United States District Court came out.
All I'm looking at is congressional record on this. You know, I mean, I'm not looking at the Constitution. All I'm looking at is what's legal, lawful money in this country, and I'm looking at what Congress said, and what I have for a defense is the Charter, which is our remedy. They had to give you the remedy because they couldn't call themselves the United States if they didn't.
Well, there's a guy back in Nevada, I think it's Nevada, he got around, and it's numismatic. He got around, and he was paying in coins, gold coins. Okay? Well, I went and I looked up the stuff in the jury instructions and the authority. You know what that's all about? How they get these people is it's for paying dividends. Is where this nonsense for this money ties in. You got to pay these dividends. And that was what the whole case was all about. And the guy never caught on. I mean, if you use jury instructions, which is what you always get, I look at jury, I monitor cases, I read this stuff.
Yeah.
The jury instructions, they gave the authorities for what they were doing, and it was for corporations only. And they put it right in the authorities for it. And the other side didn't do a damn thing about it.
Yeah, I understand. You know, it's all corporate. It's all corporate venue anyway. You know, the whole every state is a corporation. Every local government is a corporation. Even your church is a corporation. I mean, everything's a corporation. You're a corporation under your person. You know, your corporate status. I mean, but I wouldn't. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out a way that I would approach it. How I would list jurisdiction and venue in an Article 3. Federal court, if I was going to do it, there'd have to be some way I could get it switched around or something. You know, kind of been racking my brain. That's why I've been listening to you guys tonight. You know, there's some great stuff going on tonight. And at least it's good to know that somebody's fighting, you know.
All right. I just popped out of the office for a second, gentlemen. I'm sorry.
Well, you did. Did you pop back in?
Yeah, I just popped back in. We had a secretarial little emergency here, but at any rate, okay. So where are we at here, Pete?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get your question answered?
I got my question answered.
Okay.
I think we missed the boat on a few things there, though, as far as what court venue and jurisdiction we're going to be under when the court is heard. And but I understand what he's saying because I know what they do. You know, they come in and it's all administrative. They get automatic granted subject matter jurisdiction, but they're asking for a specific item here, and the specific item is a Federal Reserve note. Mm-hmm. That's what they want.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, Pete, you've already made that point. I've got to move on. I've got other callers, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, appreciate your call. Dave in Sacramento. Hello, Dave.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I have a question concerning a gentleman who used to broadcast on a radio station in the San Francisco area concerning trusts. And he was a adamant anti-government crusader for people to shelter their money from taxes and things like that. I believe his name is Richard Green.
Okay.
You're familiar with that name?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Me either.
Okay. What is the validity of these trusts that allow you to escape taxation or government control of your money?
Let me give you one thing. There's, first of all, the trust. There is the trustee, and then there's the beneficiary. There is, it is true that the trustee has no legal duty, and what will happen is they will come in and they will go against the trust, and the trustee must show up, and the beneficiary must show up, and you must have a valid trust if you're going to even think, and they will bust your trust, because normally people are under the opinion that just the trustee's got to show up. The guy that's the legal owner, the guy that's the equitable owner that owns the substance, he sits behind the scenes, he didn't show up, and they lose by default. That's what usually happens in every case I've ever seen. And it complicates the thing. If you understand what's going on, you're made something very complicated that you can do right out in the open and not. We got one that I just got involved with in Texas, and he had a trust and stuff, and we shocked the IRS because he got around and he transferred everything out in his name and said, come on down. We're going to have a horse race. This is the first one I've ever gotten involved in a reduced adjustment from the very beginning. And they don't want to go there because we always let them know we know about chief counsel notices, and they don't like it. Tough bananas.
Well, one subject he used to continuously refer to was this admiralty law thing, something to do with admiralty courts, or they have flags with fringes on them or something that make them an admiralty court, and that these trusts, when they arrive in any sort of contest in an admiralty court, they lose. Okay, I'm not familiar with how that works, but in any case, he said that these trusts that his company arranged were inviolable, that you couldn't break a trust.
Everybody make these statements. I'll tell you, the first thing is the flag that's hanging in the courtroom is not a flag of the United States. We call it the flag of the United States of America. The flag of the United States is a flag of any of the several states, and that's an act about 1818. The flag of the United States of America is this corporate nonsense, but I will not fight that. I will always stand. I will not disgrace that flag, because that's all we got. It's not the right dimensions. It's going to have fringe on it. That's another thing. But you're not going to win with these arguments. Some of these things are true, but you can't win with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about winning or losing,
you have to understand there is no republic today. That's a fact. Arguments are there. There's just nobody home.
I noticed that let's talk about California and our measures, our ballot measures that we put on our California ballot. And let's discuss Proposition 8, okay, which was the man and woman marry thing. And a majority of people voted for it. It was passed by the majority of Californians, and some federal judge says, okay, it's not constitutional, and all of a sudden we're supposed to recognize gay marriage. Why would a federal judge have that power to say that we have to sanction gay marriage?
Do you know why he can do that and get away with it?
Because we don't hang them from a tree?
Now, that would be one thing. They did that back in England in 1640. They got rid of 40 judges and killed them and got their attention. Now, the reason why is, first of all, you have to have... I haven't looked at California. First of all, you go look and see if the amendments are external or internal. See if they call it the Constitution of the State of California or the Constitution of California. Constitution of California is the proper one. It's an organic, and the amendments must be inside, and they cannot rewrite it. Alaska, we have the Constitution of the State of Alaska, and they rewrite the damn thing every year. The first problem is a limited delegation of power under the Declaration of Independence of our unalienable rights was delegated to three departments, and in those, the office is created. And I'm not talking about a building. A limited delegation of some power to that person. That person must have an office created by the Constitution or statute. They don't exist. Next thing, they must have an oath of office as a public officer for the state, or an oath of office as an officer of the United States to enter that office. They don't have those either. You know that the president doesn't even take the oath that's in the Constitution? Yep, that started in 18 with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. They don't even get it right. And it's in the Constitution in quotation marks. The next problem is if they have no oath of office, then once they get into that office, they must have either a certificate of election or a civil commission. Do you know how many civil commissions, like in Alaska, exist? None. They even say, we ain't doing it. They just put it in plain white. We're not doing it. They don't need it because they overthrew the whole thing. They don't have oaths of office as public officers. They don't have an office with powers and duties. They've never agreed to do anything. It's our perception of what we think we know. Try to get an oath of office of your senator, state, or federal. Try to get check the one that's in quotation marks. They will not match because they can't. We're in the illusion. We're in the matrix.
All right. Dave in Sacramento.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. We're going to break here. How much time do I have? Now. Okay. Ed in Dallas, hang on. I'll take your call after this break.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
All right, let's snag one more call here and wrap this edition of the National Intel Report up. Ed in Dallas. Hello, Ed.
Hello there, John. Hi. And Ralph. How are you guys?
Doing great. Alaska's great today. We're having, it's 46 degrees. This is almost summertime up here now.
Oh, yeah, really.
It's like 35 down here today, Ralph. So.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, and our snow's all going down the road. There's all brown. I don't know what happened this year. Maybe that global warming and Gore was right. I mean, maybe he's right. I don't know.
Yeah. Ed, what's on your mind?
generally speaking, Ralph and I don't agree on the solution to the problem. However, I didn't call to argue that. I called to back up what he's saying about the jurisdictional issue with the IRS and, well, actually with the whole system. It all has one point that it follows. And, Ralph, when I was looking up the jurisdictional issue of how they get jurisdiction over the person in the courts, I could not find anything in the state of Texas where I am. But I happened to be working with a guy that was in Arkansas, and I happened to look in his statutes and accidentally found this, and it would be something that you probably would like to have with your stuff because it backs up what you're saying. It's in Title 16 of their code, and it's called Uniform Interstate and International Procedures Act. And it starts out with person, and it says, as used in this section, person includes an individual or his or her executor, administrator, or other personal representative, or a corporation, partnership, association, and here's the key part, or any other legal or commercial entity. In other words, whether you're a person or a corporation, if you are a legal or commercial entity, this is the definition of the word person. Okay, now when you go to the section B, under personal jurisdiction, it says the courts of this state, meaning all the courts, have personal jurisdiction of all persons, meaning the persons they just identified in the above statement. And all causes of action or claims for relief to the maximum extent, now get this, permitted by the due process of law clause of the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. And it does not go on to say the 5th Amendment of the Constitution. It does not include the 5th Amendment, only 14th Amendment. So what they're operating under is the due process clause of the 14th Amendment all the way across the board. They're not working with the original organic Fifth Amendment due process that we find in our, or supposed to be in our Article okay. 3 courts. We don't have any.
Ed, hold on a second. You have a comment about that, Ralph?
I do. Yep. He's got the basic idea. In the 14 Stat 27, they have a citizen of the United States was passed in 1866 that wants the same rights as white citizens. You'll find it codified today in Title 42, 1981, 82, 83.
Okay.
And that, okay, so you want the same rights, and what they're doing, the actual amendments that we think of the Bill of Rights, 1 through 8, have no application to we the people.
All righty. Ed, I want to thank you for your call. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Ron McDonald, thank you.
Hey, always a pleasure, John.
I appreciate it. And Ralph, we'll see you on the airwaves here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you for your time.
You will, and we're winning. It can be done.
All righty. All right, folks, thanks. I appreciate you being here today. Back with you tomorrow. I'm going to try to get Bernadine Smith on with me tomorrow, the old grand dame here of the fighting for the patriots in this country. She's been doing it for a lot of years. We're going to try to get her on the air with me tomorrow. Thanks again. See you then.